some people struggle to differentiate between a pet cat and a feral cat. So then they see a cat, and some people want to place that feral cat's right to life above any other species or any other animal because it's a cat, because personally for them, they have a greater connection with it and they've placed a lot of emotion on that. For me, nature doesn't have emotion. Nature just does what nature does. And as a predator hunter, it's really important for me to operate as I'm a part of nature, but to be kind and to have absolute respect and be humane, you know. And there's no place in this discussion for any form of cruelty or for any form of disrespect for the animal. And unfortunately, there will be people that will view removing these animals as a form of cruelty, and there's no way around that, even though to leave that animal out there in the environment is having a massively negative impact on so many other individuals of different species as they kill them. There's no doubt in my mind that in particularly certain areas of this country, removing feral cats will have a noticeable impact for the good on our native wildlife. Estimates at the moment are with feral cats that there's possibly around 2.5 million feral cats in this country.
And really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Big numbers. Everyone that I know that works in the same space that I do, and you talk to farmers, I work a lot with farmers. In the last 5 years in particular, people have noticed a massive increase in the number of feral cats out there in the environment. It's a growing problem and an increasing threat. I do a lot of work with trail cameras, and feral cats are not strictly nocturnal, but they're far more active at night. And so often you don't see them. So you think, oh, yeah, there's the odd one around. You put trail cameras out there and you realise how many are out there.
Kia ora, hello.
And welcome to the People Helping Nature podcast.
We're your hosts. My name's Anna.
And I'm Callum. And today we are joined by John Bissell, a leading predator control person in New Zealand's conservation space. And we're here today to talk about the issue of feral cats, what we're doing about it, and all the surrounding topics around that. So welcome, John. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Before we dive deep into that topic, could you please briefly introduce yourself and your involvement in New Zealand conservation?
Kia ora koutou. My name's John Bissell. I have a small business called Backblocks Environmental Management. My specialty in particular is pest and predator control, and in particular around threatened species protection. I'm also the National Predator Control Advisor for an amazing organisation called Save the Kiwi, and I work across the country supporting and walking alongside projects and groups and people carrying out amazing conservation work, which is what it's all about.
Awesome. Thank you for that, John. So as Callum already mentioned, today we're talking about feral cats. And to kick us off on the topic, what is a feral cat here in New Zealand? Can you please explain that to our listeners?
There's a number of definitions, but essentially a feral cat is a cat that doesn't have a home, or it's a cat that's living in a wild state that is unassisted, unfed by human intervention. So there's self-feeding, self-care, wild-born cats, or in some cases they are domestic-born and abandoned, and then learn to survive and live in the wild and continue in a feral state.
Right. So they're not the mogwai at home that has a collar on and gets nibbles and what do they get? The Jimbos every night. It's completely different. They don't have that presence of caring humans in their life, is what you're saying.
Correct. I mean, comparing a feral cat to a domestic cat really is like comparing a wolf to a Labrador. Very similar DNA, but one's a pet one's fully wild.
Yeah, right. And so why are they a problem for our ecosystems, and what damage do feral cats cause?
Feral cats are really one of the top line predators we have in this country. They are amazing predators, very adaptive and very successful predators, and they can feed actively on a large number of our taonga species and very successfully. They can breed several times a year and very successfully in that front as well. The other thing that I've seen with feral cats is they can be kind of like that guy that always fishes the same spot on Saturdays until there's no fish left. If a cat discovers a food source, a feral cat discovers a food source, they can thrash that food source until it's not there. They are not what you would call sustainable harvesters. And so a really good example of that happened a number of years ago in Tongariro Forest, where a feral cat decimated a colony of short-tailed bats, which are extremely rare, highly vulnerable. And in the course of the two-week period that they knew that it was happening, that cat accounted for 107 known short-tailed bat deaths over a fortnight period. So they can have a cataclysmic impact on rare and threatened and vulnerable species in a very short space of time. And that is one of the things that makes them a particular challenge in our conservation space in this country.
So how are we currently, as a country, managing feral cats in conservation?
I think the answer to that would be very carefully. The reality is, I think it's hard to have a conversation about feral cats without discussing our views and our approach to cats in this country, full stop. The reality is that most of us have grown up with or around domestic cats, myself included, and we, in many cases, have a very strong connection to cats. And that's great. I'd like to be clear before we go further in this conversation that I totally endorse and support a person's right to have a pet cat. They are amazing companion animals, and they give a huge number of people a lot of pleasure. And often, at times, too, people that maybe live on their own, and so their cat to them is their family. And I think that's a wonderful thing. What we have in this country is also a situation whereby we have an increasingly urbanized population, and people may be less connected with wild spaces and our threatened species, because oftentimes our native wildlife has been so decimated that it's not on our back doorstep all the time. And so people often connect with their pet cats as a form of wildlife more than they do with their native taonga species. And I understand that. And what's happening worldwide is that people are increasingly giving animals human personalities, or they're viewing them almost as people, or at least with some human traits. And so to talk about a feral cat that looks exactly like the cat that's lying by your fire, a cat that you connect with and attribute with a personality and everything else, it's very, very hard for people to make that disconnect between the feral cat and the pet cat. And so when we talk about feral cat control, it becomes an incredibly emotive topic and a very personal one for a lot of people. And I get that. And it's a tough conversation to have. And what's been happening in conservation for a number of years in this country is that people in conservation have recognised the incredible threat that feral cats in particular pose to our native wildlife, but they've been treading on eggshells because of the threat of public backlash in that space. What's happening now is there is an increasing movement and an increasing degree of openness by people around that threat and the impact that feral cats are having, and an increasing willingness to have this sort of honest conversation. And it's a tough conversation to have. The reality is that when it comes to this topic, we're not all going to agree. But it's really important for me to show respect to those of us that maybe have a different opinion in this space. The reality is that nature, as I've said other times, doesn't attribute an animal's right to life based on how cute it is or how much somebody connects with that animal. The fact is, if you leave a feral cat in an environment because it looks like your pet cat, there is a massive downstream impact on other animals. So there's no such thing as a free lunch in this space. And to leave a predator species out there in the natural environment that natural environment didn't evolve with, it has an impact. And that's the key in this space, I think, is for people to understand that so that we can have that conversation about how we address that.
Yeah, definitely. It's we have very strong emotions towards companion pets like cats and dogs for that matter. And it's really important that we do address this situation, but we don't sweep it under the rug, but also we do it with respect to people's subjectivenesses. So do we have any idea on the range and the population density of feral cats? Like, are they isolated issues? Is it nationwide? Are they only in urban areas? Are they an alpine problem? Like, where is the issue, and how much do we know about it?
So essentially, it's an increasing issue. Estimates at the moment are with feral cats that there's possibly around 2.5 million feral cats in this country. Big numbers. Everyone that I know that works in the same space that I do, and you talk to farmers, I work a lot with farmers. In the last 5 years in particular, people have noticed a massive increase in the number of feral cats out there in the environment. It's a growing problem and an increasing threat. I do a lot of work with trail cameras, and feral cats are not strictly nocturnal, but they're far more active at night, and so often you don't see them. So you think, oh yeah, there's the odd one around. You put trail cameras out there and you realize how many are out there. I did one monitor on a farm last year. I had 8 different feral cats at one camera site.
So
the numbers are increasing. As far as range and territory sizes and all of those sorts of things, it depends on the food availability and the density of the population a lot of the time. If the more food out there, the higher the population usually, unless there's control happening, which means sometimes the home ranges can be smaller as well. But I can tell you that I've had feral tomcats that were quite noticeable, like if one lost half an ear through fighting or something, and I've had them on different cameras kilometres and kilometres apart. So they can go a long, long way. The gills or the females will often have a smaller home range and stay a little bit closer. But the toms in particular can range a long, long way. Personally, myself, I've seen them way up in the alpine environment, and I've seen them right down on the coastal foreshore. So they can inhabit a wide range of environments. And the only thing that will limit that is food availability and denning sites and the ability to live and survive in those areas. So really, there's not a lot of places in this country now where we do not have significant populations of feral cats. What's also happening with the changing of the seasons, what I'm seeing sometimes is that prey abundance is increasing as well. Rabbit populations are growing in many parts of the country, particularly on the eastern parts of the islands. Everything's driven by what's beneath it. So feral cats, ferrets, other predators are increasing in number because their food resources are increasing too. So some real challenges in that space. Another interesting one is that there's an increasing number of lifestyle blocks in peri-urban and rural areas. And what's happening is there's a lot of pet cats in those environments. So people see a cat and they assume it belongs to someone. And so often what I'm seeing is that there's a number of feral cats, quite a large feral cat population, often living in those sort of lifestyle areas because they're being left alone, because people assume they belong to someone. So there's big challenges in that space. What people sometimes don't understand is the impact that feral cats have on pet cats. I spoke to someone a couple of weeks ago, or about a month ago, who had lost two pet cats within a month to being killed. They were killed by feral cats. And wow. So feral cats are having an impact in a number of ways across the landscape. Big impacts with stock health on farm. Feline toxoplasmosis can cause ewes to abort, or at the very least have a lamb that will die very quickly after birth. It is a massive problem in the farming community. You can vaccinate against it, but it comes at a huge cost to farmers as well. And they did an autopsy on a number of Hectors and Maui dolphins that were stranded. This is a few years ago, and I can't remember the exact details, but they found that something like 25 or 30% of the marine mammals that autopsied had fatal levels of feline toxoplasmosis in them. So An incredible impact there on our very rare marine mammals as well. Now, how it got into the water, who knows? But the fact of the matter, it did. They've got it, and it had a negative impact on them. So there's some huge challenges in this space, in this landscape.
It's crazy that the after effects, right, of what we sometimes think are smaller problems than they actually are until we comprehend the scale of it all. If you had to rank feral cats with other introduced predators that we have here in New Zealand, how do they compare? Is there anything that's particularly special about them? Or, what makes them different?
I think, personally, and this is just my view, they are the most naturally cautious and savvy and intelligent of all of our predator species. If you watch a feral cat moving through the environment, every footstep it takes, it places it with care. They are incredibly averse to anything new, very wary. If you watch the time they take to check out anything new compared to a lot of our other predator species, for me, when it comes to caution and intelligence levels in our predator species, I think feral cats are right at the top of the triangle for me. They're incredible animals. I've got absolute respect for them, and it might sound a little bit strange for me to say that or to hear me say that, but at the heart of everything I do is respect. And I think it's a really tough place for a lot of predator hunters to be in. If you're going to be good at this game, you have to have respect for the animal and you have to have empathy. And they didn't ask to be here. And to be tasked with removing them is not something that you relish, but it's something that's absolutely necessary, because to leave them out there is catastrophic for our native species in many cases.
Yeah. So when you're brought in to deal with feral cats, how do you approach the situation, given how shy and intelligent they are?
Control methods is a whole other conversation, probably. But with what I do, I'll be really honest with you. If I'm looking at a feral cat control job, the first thing I want to do is to talk to all the people around the area. If it's not a completely remote area, the first thing I want to do is I want to have a conversation with everyone who owns a pet cat in that district. It's an interesting conversation to have with some people, but most people really respect and value the fact that you're showing respect and caring and helping them keep their pet safe. A huge number of domestic cats are natural-born killers as well. Let's be really honest about that. The reason they sleep all day is because they've been hunting and killing all night. But the fact of the matter is that all feral cats are killers and have a huge impact. The domestic cat impact is a whole other conversation that I think is probably approaching us as well. And that one to me is one to be entered into with real respect for those involved in that conversation. But the feral cat conversation is, they're a different species to me. So yeah, so I like to talk to anyone in the district. I like to eyeball their cat or get a photo of it. I also ask them to put a collar on the cat, so it's really obvious. Quite often, we won't use kill trapping in an area where there's pet cats or within a long way, just to avoid risk. But any feral cat control operation needs to be approached carefully with respect, and you've got to be really on your A game if you're going to be successful. Yeah. Quite often what I've said is that I get told is that people with pet cats, if we remove a feral cat or feral cats from an area, is they notice their cat's not getting beaten up anymore and it's not getting injured. And they thought it was just getting hurt sometimes or licking wounds from just being out and about, but it turns out it was just getting beaten up at night by wild cats. So I think people really underestimate the impact feral cats have on their pet cats, as I've said before.
Yeah, I feel like this topic is definitely a juggle left, right and centre, but I'm really grateful and we're talking about it today because that's one of the main solutions, I think, is to address these things. But can you just, and you've already touched on a few misunderstandings, but could you just sum up the biggest misunderstandings that you encounter around the topic?
Well, I think it really is the fact that some people struggle to differentiate between a pet cat and a feral cat. To them, they see a cat. And some people want to place that feral cat's right to life above any other species or any other animal because it's a cat. Because personally for them, they have a greater connection with it and they've placed a lot of emotion on that. For me, nature doesn't have emotion. Nature just does what nature does. And as a predator hunter, it's really important for me to operate as I'm a part of nature, but to be kind and to have absolute respect and be humane, you know. And there's no place in this discussion for any form of cruelty or for any form of disrespect for the animal. And unfortunately, there will be people that will view removing these animals as a form of cruelty, and there's no way around that, even though to leave that animal out there in the environment is having a massively negative impact on so many other individuals of different species as they kill them. And not every feral cat, if you catch them in a cage trap, wants to eat you through the bars of the cage. A lot of them are quite submissive or quite quiet, and you know what? I've had comments when people have talked about that and they say, well, it must have been a pet one, but it's not. And you know it's not because you're a million miles from the nearest house sometimes. And my view is if the cat's calm and quiet, then I've done my job well as a trapper because I'm not creating unnecessary suffering for that animal as I remove it. And that's a big thing for me. So,
It's... they're such a big part of our identity, and I imagine it must be a little bit harder to put the emotions to one side when the cat is calm and it is what you imagine as your, what you would think of as a pet cat versus a feral cat that's out there leaping out of the cage to bite and attack you. But this just comes back to the misunderstandings, which are so foundational to who we are.
It is really hard, yeah. And you know what, I don't want to be the face of feral cat control in this country, but I really respect the right of people to have an opinion on this, and I respect the right of people to want to keep a pet cat, but I also respect the right of other wildlife and other people around that cat not to be impacted by that person keeping that cat. And I strongly believe we can have our cake and eat it too in the space with domestic cats, but feral cats to me are no different to a stoat or a ferret or a weasel or a rat or a possum. They don't have a place in our natural world in this country. And that's a really hard conversation to have. And you know what? We need to put our hands up as people because we're the ones that created this situation. The cats didn't ask to be here. They didn't ask to get put in this situation. But as people, we need to fix that. But the most important thing for me is, as a trapper and as a predator hunter, I don't want to give any species of animal I'm targeting a greater or lesser right to live because it looks cuter or like something I connected with as a child. I believe that a rat has an equal amount of respect owing to it to any other species. But if you talk to most people, they hate rats because they're ugly or they're smelly or they're scared of them. But to me, every animal is deserving of equal amounts of respect when it comes to this conversation. And there is no easy way to say we need to remove them, and there's no easy way to do it. And I don't know what the answer to that question is, but all I know is that to leave those animals out there in the wild is to have a far higher impact on a far larger number of other animals.
Yeah, and it's a definitely a public conversation we need to be having more as a nation. Yeah. And it's bridging that gap between conservation and the general public's perception of feral cats is really yeah. important. Do you have any yeah. thoughts on maybe how we should approach that conversation or how we should go about even starting this discussion?
Around feral cats or around, yeah.
Well, around getting the right perceptions within New Zealand to yeah. address it. Because if people don't see it for what it is, it's going to be the human problem that actually stops us from solving this, and that's going to devastate yep. our local ecosystems.
There's been a huge push for a National Cat Act around the registration and microchipping of domestic cats and ultimately possibly containing domestic cats as well. There's also now some cat-free suburbs that have been put in place where it's a new subdivision and they put in covenants where you can't have a cat. The government currently has decided that it is not a priority, which is a bit sad, actually, to be honest. I think it's really important that we have this conversation nationally and from people with every different viewpoint. And we have a conversation about what can we do to find as much of a win-win as we can. The fact is that there's no place where you can have cats intermingling, feral or domestic, with native wildlife where there's not a win-lose for someone or something. And that's a really tough thing to have. But I really, really advocate for people's right to have a pet cat. I think it's a wonderful thing. And I think we can have our cake and eat it too with pet cats. Feral cats is a different conversation. And I don't see why anyone would want feral cats in the environment, given what we know about the impact that they and so many other predator species have in this country on our native wildlife.
Yeah, I fully agree. And in Europe, there's this whole movement at the moment about indoor cats because people are sick of their own pet cats that they so much love being endangered by being outdoors. So, you know, other cats, road accidents, disappearing because they're locked in someone's garage and all of these things. And they're now breeds actually bred to be inside and they love it. And as long as you enrich them enough, they're actually happy as just having yep. that life. So I'm really hoping that that's going to come to our shores sooner rather than later. Because that's to me having, what's the saying with the cake?
Have your cake and eat it too. Yeah. And as dog owners in this country now, there is a requirement for us to contain our dogs on our property to ensure that there is no risk to other people or livestock or whatever, and everyone understands those rules. I think there's just a bit of a rethink on that whole conversation around cats needed. I think people will be probably a little bit startled at the positive side of things that comes out of potentially containing domestic cats. I think it could be a really positive thing as well. Yeah, so watch this space. Yeah, I mean, just for the record, I don't hate cats. I grew up with them. I think they're amazing. People might find that hard to sort of correlate the two together, but for me, I don't. I think incredible companion animals and totally endorse people's right to have them. And I think we need to just work on how that looks.
Yeah, I fully agree. I love them too. Callum used to have a cat growing up as yeah. well. So I think it's that working together and understanding the difference between the two and how different they actually are.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, what are the most important next steps that we have to take as a nation to improve our ability to be better at feral cat under control and up the understanding?
I think one of the most important steps of late has been the SPCA's change in their position with regard to feral cats. The SPCA now has come out publicly and said they understand the fact that feral cats need to be removed. And I think that is a huge step forwards, and I cheer them on for that. So I think these sorts of conversations are really important. I don't think de-sexing feral cats and re-releasing them is an answer, because they can live for years and they can have a massive impact while they live on. They just need to not be there, to put it bluntly. And I don't know a nicer way to put it. It's the same as all of our predator species, really. But I think a National Cat Act would really help. I see local councils are now starting to take the onus on themselves almost at times, and they're starting to move towards that. But something, some national direction from the government on this would be really useful in that space. And I just think the most important thing in the conservation space is to be mindful and respectful of those with a differing opinion to yourself. We don't all have to agree on this, but we need to reach an end point where our native wildlife is being protected and is safe.
Yeah, so speaking of that end point, if we are able to get feral cats under control, and I mean, how cool would that be? But what could our biodiversity look like in that outcome?
In some parts of the country, you might get a real fright at how many lizards show up. For me, it's not just feral cats are having the greatest impact. I mean, for me, this is a conversation about all of our predator species. And depending on which area you're talking about and which species you're trying to grow and support will change which are your highest risk predator species. But there's no doubt in my mind that in particularly certain areas of this country, removing feral cats will have a noticeable impact for the good on our native wildlife.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I feel like Stewart Island is another prime example of it, where they're a huge, huge problem. But I feel like in general, we've come a long way of starting to talk about this now and trying to find a middle ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there may be people watching this that are feeling pretty angry and pretty emotional about what we're talking about. I'd just like to say those people, I empathise with you. But I would have a question that if you take every time we say cat in this conversation and you replace the C with an R to make it rat, and this is a conversation about feral rats and domestic rats and people's right to have a pet rat and the fact that we need to remove feral rats from the environment. If you change those words, I would ask those people, is your gut feeling and your reaction to this conversation the same? And if the answer is no, it's not, then I would ask them, why isn't it? What gives a cat more right, a feral cat more right to live than a feral rat out there in the wild? Why should we assign a species a greater right to live in the wild if it didn't belong here originally? That's an interesting conversation, you know? Yeah.
And it's definitely, to me, the biggest issue here is the human perception, as we already talked about. And it's definitely to do a lot with us and how we phrase it, how we educate and share our knowledge. And I know of several community projects who are facing these issues and struggling with that quite a lot. So do you have any tips for them, how they can raise awareness, but do it respectfully and mindfully?
You know, it's a really tough one, that one, because often these community groups are living right next to the same people that might disagree with what they're trying to achieve. And you have to live in a community and you have to be able to get on with your neighbours. And the reality is that in some cases, people find it very hard to disagree while still having respect for each other or being able to converse with each other. It gets very, very personal. So for community groups, I would suggest tread carefully, tread cautiously, tread respectfully, and decide if it's a conversation worth having right now, or it could be shelved, or just put a pin in it for a little bit longer. And this is why I think we actually need national direction from the government, who are prepared to step up into the space, like some of our organisations are, and do the heavy lifting, to be honest. I think the likes of the SPCA, Predator Free Trust, all talking together and having those honest, respectful conversations and working on the messaging is a really important place to start here. And it's not a burden to be carried by individuals.
Yep, yep. It has a lot of gravity to the topic, that is for yep. sure. I appreciate, you know, we've co-evolved with cats. It's so core to our identity.
So this is my personal view. Sometimes I wonder, in New Zealand, we're not used to, you know, our big mammals like our wolves or our lions. And sometimes I wonder if that prohibits us to understand the difference between a feral feline and an actual pet cat, because we're not used and we're not in close proximity to any country mm-hmm. that we comprehend that the feral lion, and you already said it, DNA wise, they're really similar. It's the behavior that is so different. Sometimes I wonder if we're just lacking a little bit of that basic understanding of how they behave in the wild, and we can't quite translate that, because the next wild cat, you know, is in Asia or South America to us.
Yeah, it's hard to know. It's hard to know. A lot of other parts of the world, if you don't contain your cat, it gets eaten by a bigger predator.
And I think, like, it comes back to connection with our ecosystem, connection with our wild places. When you have when you build a deeper connection to our native ecosystems, our forests, our mountains, our wetlands, you see the connections between them, and there isn't really a natural place for cats within those ecosystems. And so that is really important. But what does a healthy ecosystem look like to you, John?
I think it can vary. It starts with clean water, lots of habitat, and a vibrant and thriving biodiversity. And that sounds all very flowery and very broad brush in general, but it can vary place by place. I mean, I live in a rural area, and 5 years ago when we moved here, there wasn't much of anything, and we started pest control around our area. And now I counted 25 tui in a kawhai tree the other day at the back of our place. And so it's amazing how quickly those things can change. And every area will be different based on habitat and food availability and predation pressure. But the reality is, if you can increase the first two and reduce the third one, you're going to end up with a far greater biodiversity. Yeah. Wellington and predator-free projects in general are amazing. They're growing so much awareness. And I think it's a really important thing to mention, that predator-free communities isn't just, to me, about killing pests. It's about growing awareness of what we've lost, what we can have, and increasing knowledge. And it's sort of disseminating out into communities. And, you know, these sorts of conversations that we've just been having for the last wee bit about feral cats is something that's going to change over time, because the awareness is growing and people are learning and starting to understand those impacts and understanding why they need to step in and all of those things. So we don't need to change this overnight, but it's important that we start these conversations. And that's why I agreed to have this chat with you today. It's important to be having the conversations and be discussing the challenges in front of us, not just from conservationists, but from people who love and don't want any cats to die. You know, it's important that we start these conversations. And so somebody's got to be brave enough to say, actually, I'm happy to have a chat with someone that disagrees with somebody else. But let's have these conversations and just be respectful about it.
Now, Nim, I'm really grateful and hat off to you. Thank you for coming on to chat about feral cats, because it's a topic that is not easy, but we do need to talk about and continue to talk about, we need to back our community conservation groups in the education that's been done in the place. And so I just really want to thank you for coming on and sharing your perspective. So how can people find out more about feral cats? Like, what are some really good resources that you would point them towards?
I think Predator Free is probably the best place to sort of talk about at the moment. Department of Conservation, obviously, as well, and local regional council or regional councils, all great places to do your research through.
Now, thank you for sharing that. And then there's also a great blog by a guy called John Bissell on the Save the Kiwi website to check out as well, that I personally think sums our conversation up really, really nicely, just really hammering home those key points.
Ah, cheers. That was an interesting one. That was, can't remember when I did that, but talking about some of these issues, and you know, the best thing about that blog was that there were people that reached out that were really anti removing feral cats that endorsed the blog as being unbiased and just talking about the issues. And I thought, how cool is that? What a great place to start these conversations. You know, we just need to take the emotion out of it. And let's be really honest, as conservationists, we need to take the emotion out of it as well. We need to just be mindful and respectful. Yeah.
I just want to amplify that point, John. I think that's the other part of the issue as well. And I think we need to be more respectful as a whole, because let's face it, a lot of conservationists do have pet cats. So we just have to put our knowledge aside and just come from that approach, being like, be compassionate and go from there.
Yeah, 100%.
Speak with hope, not hate.
Yeah, poetic.
Well, yeah, I'm really philosophical now.
Yeah. It takes a certain level of courage to share what you've shared today, knowing how this can be perceived by people. So, yeah, just thanks again from the bottom of my heart for being happy to start this conversation. I really sincerely hope that us putting this out into the ether gets more people talking about it, whether that's online or offline, and so that we can start getting towards a situation where we can reliably deal with feral cats. So, yeah, thank you very much, John, for being here.
Yeah. Kia ora. Thank you.
Kia ora.